ladies and gentlemen. Your conference call is about to begin. Here's your moderator, Adam Pechter.
Thank you, operator. Today we're pleased to have General Shimshon Isaki calling in from Israel. The line's coming in and out a little bit, so just bear with us today. General Isaki served in the Israel Defense Forces and in other security services as a senior intelligence analyst and operations officer. He retired after 44 years with a rank equivalent to Brigadier General. He is with us today to discuss his most recent book, Terror in Iraq, How We Can Better Combat Islamic Terrorism. I think it's really rare that someone of his military background and experience is able and willing to discuss openly his insights on this particular issue, and we're really lucky to have him. So without further ado, let me turn it over now to General Isaki. General?
Yeah, good evening. Good afternoon, actually. It's evening in Israel.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, General.
Yeah. If we would like to talk about Al-Qaeda and the modus operandi, so on, which my book is the main aim, and which is the first book published analyzing the modus operandi, the method of operation by Al-Qaeda. Because of my background, because I'm involved in this, I was involved deeply in this business. I was born in Iraq. I speak fluently Arabic as well, and I found out that after September 11th, something has to be done. So I took me almost 7 years to complete this book based on my background. And I saw the Al-Qaeda as a leading Islamic fundamentalist. This is a kind of global jihad headed by Osama bin Laden. Established his organization in 1968 war against the Soviets, by the way, was supported directly and indirectly by the CIA. And his, when the Soviets left Afghanistan, he had to extend his activities as a Muslim, as a religious, extreme religious person. Then he decided to establish this organization, which aims to overthrow all the regimes who are non-Muslims and not going through his ideology, which is a Wahhabi, Salafi Muslim, Sunni sect. He is against the Crusaders, which means Christians, Jews, and even Muslims that are not following the Wahhabi Salafi Sharia law, including the Shia, is regarded by bin Laden as infidel. And the method that he is using is terrorism. So I decided to find ways how we can combat this phenomena, which is becoming more and more effective, unfortunately, in the world. So I decided to to provide a tool for public opinion that can take share in combating this phenomena, intelligence and security service, academia. The book can be valuable to the academia, to the analysts who are willing to analyze in more in depth the phenomena of Islamic fundamentalism and terrorism. And I decided to mention the few weak points in the modus operandi, which I analyzed, which I mentioned in my book, Terror and Iraq, but not all the weak points, because I don't want them. I want Al-Qaeda to learn from that correct weak point. So I mentioned few weak points that cannot be correct. First of all, a member should be a Muslim believer. This they cannot avoid. So this is an advantage, because if we want to recruit somebody, then we need to go for a Muslim. Then the spotting procedure of Al-Qaeda is give us the possibilities either to install an informer into the organization or to apply acquisition. The spotting places. I mean, maybe in the spotting places, and it's not very new, because mainly the mosques, the Islamic centers, the universities, and the neighbor Islamic neighboring are well known. But the question is how to recruit. And then the communication system, including they cannot avoid using mobile phone, wireless telephones, and of course the internet. And then the money transfer, and not less important is that it is for a Muslim or coming from a Muslim country, it is quite easy to recognize and to spot them. So this is why I came that to put ways of how to do things in every country. And of course, I analyzed the intelligence failure that happened. My belief, according to my conclusion, September 11 could be avoided if things had been done in the right way. And I'm sure that what is going on now in regard to the torture procedures and so on, I think that this the releasing the documents, the intelligence documents, is irreversible damage to the security, because they are learning how to behave. They are teaching, if you follow the modus operandi, the manual of the Al-Qaeda, which I managed to put hands on it, described how to avoid interrogations. And now they have gone free of charge valuable information. So this is what led me to write this book.
Thank you, General. We will now take questions.
Okay. To join the question and answer session queue, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. I will announce each caller prior to bringing you into the conference. Please remember that if you have your phone on mute, take it off mute when you are selected to ask your question. Again, to join the question and answer session queue, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question is coming from Mr. Larry Gould.
General, do you have any do you have any thoughts about why American intelligence has failed to really learn about Al-Qaeda as compared with Israeli intelligence? Is it the manner in which United States intelligence goes at it? Do they refuse to take advice from Israel as to how to obtain information? I'd like your thoughts about that.
First of all, I think that the system, intelligence system, United States made it possible to have this misfortune intelligence way. The information was available. The infrastructure was there. Now the question is: it was first of all was a politician, a political one, and secondly, it's the system that the CIA is not giving the FBI information about two suspects whom they know that they're coming to the United States, and they gave the information few weeks after they had arrived, and two of these suspects took part in the September 11 attacks. So this is one of the things. And I'm afraid that until things are not done right, because DNI, for instance, is a toothless organization. So, the administration went to the right way, but not to the end. And now I think that you should have a problem, because interrogation, torture is it's a matter of definition. I mean, giving example, I listened to President Obama one day's press conference. He made a comparison with Churchill's World War II. This is not the case. It's totally different. When you have in your hands a suspect, a terrorist, and you have some information that something is going on, you cannot wait. You cannot wait for it. It's not that you have a prisoner of war. You have it. You have him 1, 2, 3 months, and so on. This is an immediate threat. So it's constant. I think the cooperation between the services, United States, Israel, was good, still good, and not the issue. But, you know, we have difference of opinion. We are more, unfortunately, we know better the mentality, the attitude of the Arab world, the Muslim world. I think this is the main reason. Are you with me?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
If anybody has another question, you just have to press star 1. There's no other questions at this point. I'll turn it back.
Operator, I've got a question. General, we've seen this rash of bombings happening in Iraq that's just spiked. And, you know, I know that the Iraqis are claiming that they have the latest al-Qaeda chief in custody there. You know, I was under the impression a month and a half ago in talking to experts that al-Qaeda in Iraq was soundly defeated. Is that not the case? What's your take on the situation right now in Iraq?
No, this is not the case. Al-Qaeda is still there, and as long as al-Qaeda now joins forces with other Islamic fundamentalists, radical terror organizations in the area, including mainly the support of Iran, mainly the support of Hezbollah, which is an Iranian organization in Lebanon. They are trained and they're moving to Syria. Syria and Iran are the same. Hamas, as well, is cooperating with Hezbollah and receiving weapons, explosives from Iran. So as long as this is going on, I am afraid that I mentioned it in my book that after the withdrawal of the coalition forces from Iraq, chaos happened there. I'm afraid that Iran will benefit. Iran is already benefiting from the situation. And what is more serious is if and when Iran will obtain the nuclear capability.
Any other questions?
Yeah, we have a question from Mr. Larry Cool.
I'm not trying to monopolize things, but I have many questions. One of them is this. Over the years, covertly, there has been fairly good cooperation between American and Israeli intelligence. Has this improved or become worse since 9/11? And has there been any change since Obama became president, for the better or worse, the relations between Israeli and American intelligence?
I want to assure you one thing. that the relationship between the services in Israel and United States are very good. And usually, changing of administrations, either countries, not affecting the working people, like intelligence services, because the interests are the same interests. The targets are the same targets. The experience is the same experience. I mean, one cannot allow, no administration can allow itself to avoid, either in Israel or in the United States. It had not happened before, and it's not happening now. Not happened. Because after all, you might there might be differences of how to do things one or another. But the field of cooperation is quite so important, so crucial. Crucial. I assure you that things are the same.
That's very comforting.
General Saki, have you noticed a change in emphasis, though, the second part of Larry's question about with the new president? In any form?
In any form, look, there might be differences of opinion. I'm not sure that the Iranian issue see it the same. I'm telling you my, let's say, private. I'm not representing the Israeli government or the Israeli intelligence. I'm telling you from my own experience and my own knowledge, the approach by President Obama towards Iran, and it is not only it is regarded here not only an approach towards Iran, it is regarded an approach to the let's say the evils, Syria, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas. There are some indications that maybe President Obama is willing to negotiate or with Hamas or to change the resolutions regarding not talking to Hamas. But, I mean, it's a question of how this approach to Iran, maybe as a president, new administration, it's correct to explore all the possibilities. But where is the time limit? For how long? Since November, since the election, nothing had been done with Iran in regards. The contrary is happening. Iran, let's say, is decepting the United States. Nothing happened. Iran declared a new nuclear facilities for enriching uranium only recently, last month. Russia, the foreign minister said Russia will not exercise pressure on Iran. North Korea had the ballistic test. And nothing is happening. And it's more than Iran is pushing Hezbollah to operate against Egypt. So I think that if we will continue with the same trend, situation will not be that positive.
Operator, any more questions?
No, not at this time.
Okay. If it's okay with you, General Osaki, let me give the audience your email address if they have any further questions that they might think of later. It's Shimshon, that's Shimshon, Isaki, it's Issaki, that's all one word, at gmail.com. So shimshonisaki@gmail.com. And General Isaki, you wanted to mention something about your book before we ended here.
Yes, my book can be found at Amazon website, at Atlas Books website, and a toll-free call 800-476-5553 and in other bookshops around the United States.
Thank you so much for your time and calling in. I know it's late in Israel. And everyone, thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next month with a new speaker. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.